In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, as I asked at the beginning of liturgy, forgive me, my voice began to fail after Vespers last night as I began working on the sermon. So either God does not want me to give this sermon because I am deluded, or else some evil spirit does not want you to hear this sermon because you are deluded. So pray for me as I pray for you. I want to begin this fourth sermon in our series on Salem in October with trick-or-treating. Some say trick-or-treating is spiritually dangerous. Some say it is just harmless fun. But I am here this morning to solve all of your problems. I have a suggestion which, for Christians, will turn Halloween into the single biggest celebration of faith in Jesus Christ outside of Pascha. The suggestion involves one simple change to trick-or-treating. Here it is, okay? On Halloween, don't give away candy, give away money. When Mr. Spock comes to your door, don't give her a Snickers bar, give her a $5 bill. When the zombie rings your bell, give some dead president to your undead visitor. Replace the jelly beans and gummy bears with a cascade of Washingtons and Lincolns and Jacksons. On Halloween, be persuaded by the words of the Apostle Paul to us this morning. He tells us that God loves a cheerful giver and that we should give not begrudgingly, but we should be giving bountifully. And St. Paul is not talking about milk duds and Tootsie Rolls. St. Paul is talking about money. This one change would baptize Halloween. It would change Halloween into a Christian feast of charity, a day on which we are just as cheerful giving away money as we are about giving away candy. We are 4 weeks into our sermon series. Week one was about Satan. Week two was about the human body. Week three was about the last judgment. And today it's time to talk about money. And I want to cut right to the chase. In our vision as Orthodox Christians, money is not evil. The only evil, all evil, begins with a failure to love. And if we want to understand anything, especially if we want to understand the role of money in our lives, then we have to begin with the mother commandment to love. From the commandment to love will flow all the other consequences that we need to worry about for our own lives. Jesus, we know, reminds us that the greatest commandment is the commandment to love God with all that we have. And he says that there's a second law like it, that you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love of God and love of neighbor, they go together like breathing out and breathing in. Our life in Christ is impossible without them. But how does this apply to my monthly budget? Hold on to your socks, brothers and sisters. There's an ancient and neglected teaching in the church associated with St. Basil the Great, our beloved church father from the 4th century. He's right up there on our iconostasis next to Mary of Egypt. St. Basil reminds us of one simple thing. The commandment to love your neighbor as you love yourself applies to everything. And it certainly, says St. Basil, applies to money. Money is a form of love. And either you love according to the commandment, or you fail to love as Christ commands. St. Basil says this: the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself means that you will spend no more money on yourself than you are willing to spend on those around you in need. Hear that again. The commandment to love your neighbor as you love yourself means that you will not spend more money on yourself than you are willing to spend on those around you in need. Forget the tithe. Forget the 10%. St. Basil teaches us that we are to give 50% of our income to those around us in need. Not because we have to, but because this is what love leads to. This is what love, when it is healthy, this is what love moves us to do. Spend no more on yourself than you are willing to give to others in need. If I spend more on myself than I give to others in need, then I love myself more than I love others. It's very simple. If I make six figures and I drive a BMW and I only give $1,000 away to others each year, then I do not love others as I love myself. I love myself at least 100 times more than I love others, if you do the math. And maybe I tithe. Maybe I do give 10% away. And that's good, and please, please tithe to your church. But according to St. Basil, it means that I still love myself 10 times more than I love others. I love myself 10 times more than I love God, by the math. When we take love your neighbor as yourself and we apply it to money, this is what we get. And this is radical. If Christians could look at money and see love, if we could always see money as a form of love, a way of loving, as I give it to others in need, I am loving them. As I withhold it from them, I am failing to love them. If we honored the commandment, as St. Basil says, then this world would be transfigured by the touch of Christ. The world is waiting for that. It's waiting to be transformed by our love. But that love stays locked down in our wallets and in our financial commitments. If we gave away at least 50% of our money, then the church would unleash social and economic change so radical and so profound that it would take the world's breath away almost overnight. And so this is what we teach about money. Like everything else we have, our relationship to money is regulated by that law, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Half for me and mine, half for yours. This is the cheerful giver which God loves, because this is the one way that a Christian loves others. But although this is the ancient teaching of the church, it is virtually absent in what we see. There are very few examples of Christians who live on 50% of what they earn. The same goes for churches. There are few Christian communities committed to giving away 50% of their income to support the needs of the poor and the suffering. I do not love as I am commanded to love. I do not love my neighbor as myself in the way that St. Basil describes. I do not give away half of my income, and this parish does not either. 99.999% of people in parishes do not. And this perhaps is the single biggest reason that faith in Jesus Christ is on the decline. Churches are growing smaller and not bigger on the average. And sometimes we overthink the reasons. Oh, we have to appeal to the millennials, or we have to make sure that we're safeguarding this or that particular group. We have to love all the people all the time, and that's for certain. But the bottom line is simple. The church shrinks when it does not love as it is called to love. The more we love, the more people will respond to that love. But the more we keep our wealth locked up in personal and in parish accounts, the more we turn our backs on the world. And who would want to be baptized into a body of believers who say that they love the world but do little to comfort and to co-suffer with their neighbors? Love your neighbor as yourself. Live on no more than you are willing to give away. 50% for me and 50% for you. So there's two ways to hear this. There are two possible responses one might give. One is this. You might just not care that this is the teaching, right? You might just own up to the realities of life and say, well, pastor, that's not going to happen. That's too weird or too radical. That's too unrealistic. Well, to those who feel this way, all I can say to you is that Jesus' love for you and his love for me is also a love that is too weird and too radical and too unrealistic. But he loves us anyway. And in return, it's okay if our love is just like his. It's okay if our love is weird and beyond all reason. But there's another response that someone might give to St. Basil on hearing this teaching uncovered beneath the centuries of neglect. Instead of dismissing what he says about money, maybe you are willing to accept the teaching. To accept the teaching that loving our neighbor applies to money, but you have no idea what to do next. No idea at all. The reality is that I cannot start giving away half of my money. How would I even begin? How would I survive? And how would I live? Brothers and sisters, if there is even a small part of your heart that desires to keep the ancient teaching of the church, then blessed is your hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is love that leads us into this problem, and it is love that will lead us out. Again and again, we are called to remember that love is the mother commandment. It gives birth to everything else. From love, everything else will follow as a natural response. God's love for us is so gigantic that he is willing to give up everything to keep close to you and to me. His desire is to be with us, to become human and to live with us. His love is so big that he does not stop giving at 50%. God gives 100%. He gives us his own life on the cross, and he gives his life to us at this Eucharistic celebration today. The love of Jesus Christ is our model. And so our first concern should not be, how do I give more? But our first concern should be, how do I love more? Jesus looks at you and he looks at me, and when our heart breaks, his heart breaks too. What grieves you and me also grieves God, because he loves us. Like a mother looking at her newly born child, God's eyes are locked on us. A pain in the human heart becomes a pain in the Savior's heart. If you want to give more, begin by asking God to help you love more. This is where the revolution starts. If you do not love your neighbor, if you do not care about what he or she cares about, if nothing breaks your heart, then you can make the decision to give away half of your money. That decision will last about 3 days. You will have nothing to keep you going. Next week, the sermon series continues, and we will reflect again on how to make St. Basil's vision a reality in our lives. But for today, hear the story of the rich man and his stone-cold heart. Lazarus suffered at his feet for a lifetime, full of hunger and sickness, and the rich man did not care. He was unmoved. God is moved by your suffering. He is moved by my suffering. He is moved even more by the suffering of refugees and war-torn families. He is moved by the victims of abuse and exploitation. He is moved by those who no longer have a voice because they are too poor or because they have been silenced because of their ethnicity or gender. This week, do not go home and pray for ways to give more. Begin by praying for ways to love more. Pray for a holy passion. Pray for something to break your heart and to give you a reason to join St. Basil's revolution. Pray and then go do some research. Go Google or read a book or something. Find out more about hunger and about imprisonment. Find out more about human trafficking or about inner city violence. Find out more about child abuse or elder abuse. Find out more about how to clothe the naked, both the naked ignored on the streets and the naked exploited online. Be shocked. Be shocked at the numbers and the statistics. Find those figures and use them to measure the scale of suffering. How many suffer and in what many ways do they suffer? And do this so that God might break your heart. Then come back next week, ready to be comforted and strengthened by a Savior whose heart is also broken by those same things. A Savior who will unfold a path for you, a path into the heart of that suffering, into the heart of this suffering world. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to love as he loves, he will join hands with you and he will show you the way. Christ is in our midst.